Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Jesus said in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." He warns us in other areas to not let our love grow cold. And in Revelation 2, he chastises the church at Ephesus because they had fallen from their first love. Well, today, Janie and I are unpacking some dangers and consequences in leaving our first love. So join in the conversation to establish a solid walk in our first love. 1 John 4:16 says, "God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Love is the very essence of his being. We have a definition of love based on how we love, and we withhold love, so we think God withholds love as well.
That's a great point, Sharon. And you know what might help clarify for us a little today is let's just go back and look at the four words that are used by the Lord in describing love.
Okay.
Because in our English language, love covers everything from the color of your nail polish to I love him.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, the one word that I didn't really even know that was used in the scripture, but I think I found one place, and that's just the word eros. Basically, the word eros for love is a passionate physical expression of sexual love between a man and a woman.
Okay.
And many times we speak of love as that emotional need, that physical satisfaction that we can have. And God has even put that physical need in our makeup. But then we have to move on because there's another word for love, and that's a family love. That's your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your sibling, people that have a blood relationship with you.
Right.
And then we take it to another word for love, and that's the word phileo, and that's really the family of God in fellowship love, caring for one another, serving for one another, but it's a relational thing. It's one of the loves that you and I have. We share ministry together. We share our lives together. Mm-hmm. We share when we're in the pits together.
Yeah.
All right? And so there's a family bonding there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the ultimate of love, and that is God's love, and that is agape. And that is really where we need to be living and learning. And yet, you know what, Sharon? You really just can't learn love. It's something that you have to have a need for, a sensing.
It's kind of birthed in you, isn't it? The closer you draw to the Lord and understanding who he is and learning about him and coming into that relationship with him, doesn't it more birth in you?
Yes. Now, God's love is drawing us unto him. And when we respond to that drawing,
okay,
then he puts his spirit in us. And then the awesomeness of having his love in our mortal vessels is sometimes hard for me to wrap my mind around.
So why is it that Christians have such a hard time caring for one another? If it's such a top priority and it should be birthed in us the closer we get to the Lord, then why are we failing there, I guess?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question, and I think there's several reasons that we can give to it. One of the things is that we still love the world because before we knew him, the world is our ultimate goal and how we function in it and how we can enjoy it and how we can progress in it.
So we got one foot in the world and one one foot in Christianity?
And yes, and that doesn't necessarily dissolve itself as we start to grow. We kind of keep that one foot still over there where we have known the portion of our lives.
Okay.
And there's great danger in that. And one of the points I think we need to emphasize is if we choose not to grow in the love that God has placed in us, and we choose to interpret it according to our own understanding, Sharon, we are rejecting God Himself. You opened up our broadcast today with God is love. Right. He doesn't have love. He is love.
Okay.
So to reject His love and the way He wants it shown and displayed is to really subtly reject the person of God, and that's the great danger.
So basically, when we allow our own flesh to rule situations, like I'm angry at that person and I just have to let them know, then we really do reject Jesus Christ Himself, God Himself, because we are not loving in that situation.
And that sounds like a very extreme statement.
Mm-hmm.
But the subtlety is that we put His priorities aside and we then develop our own priorities of how we think we want to show that love. But that would be, boy, I don't know if I can come up with a good illustration or not, but that would be like me saying to my husband, I really love you, but right now I've got other things that I need to do, or I've got other priorities, and so I still love you, but hey, I'll get back around to you after a bit. I mean, that's ludicrous to have a healthy marriage.
Right.
And it's equally as ludicrous to try to think we can have the relationship that Jesus Christ has given us. And Sharon, the expense that He went to on the cross to make known His love for us, and we kind of take it for granted.
Oh, kind of. We really do take it for granted, Janie, because I don't really think that we understand all that He did for us on the cross. We see it as a tool to get out of hell and into heaven, and so therefore, thank you, Jesus, and we'll see you later.
Well, and by the way, Lord, we really appreciate all the benefits that the cross gave us, and we're going to focus on those good benefits that benefit us.
That make us comfortable. So bless us, keep us, protect us.
And yet all of those things are benefits that He wants to provide for us.
Right.
When you look at the church at Ephesus, they were a strong church in their service. They didn't allow false prophets to enter in. They were caring for one another. They were studying together.
Mm-hmm.
They were spending time together. They were...
It sounds like the perfect church, Janie.
Well, and you know what? If we were to look at them in a resume, you and I'd probably say, hey, that's a church we need to find, we need to go to.
Right.
So let me just detail a couple of things that maybe we are doing today that's right, but still suffering the consequences of walking away from your first love.
Well, that's what is written in Revelation 2 about the church at Ephesus, is that they were doing things right, but they had walked away from their first love.
Well, let's see if we can apply that to today, the church at Ephesus that John's talking about. Do we not serve one another by caring for each other when we have a need?
Uh-huh.
And do we not get together and study together and listen to what each person is sharing so that we might know how to support them in their life? Do we not take time for prayer, even at some level, and be concerned about our family locally? And are we not concerned even in our prayers with our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries, other nations that may be going through open persecution in a more severe way than what we are experiencing? And then really some in the body of Christ have discernment to evaluate teachers and their quick to be able to listen. Oh, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And then right. they will diligently inquire and work within the body of Christ to say, don't listen to this person, or be aware of what's being said here. Mm-hmm. There is something that goes against the scriptures that you've taught. And Paul is constantly telling all the churches that he writes to, follow what I have done in teaching you and in training you. And Paul spent 3 years at the church at Ephesus, training them. And then a few years later, Paul writes back to them, giving them a refresher course on what he had done in his training them when he was there. And in Ephesians, he goes back and tells them that in chapters 1 through 3, who God is and how he has blessed them and how God has made provisions for them. And then he gives us certain prayers to pray about the provisions that he has given. And then the last 3 chapters, he takes and tells us, now, this is how you are to apply the love of God that I've told you has been given to you in the first 3 chapters.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
So then, back to Revelations and John, when he's writing about 40 years later to the church at Ephesus, why in the world, Sharon, would have in big, bold letters, you've walked away from your first love and you had better repent?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like almost an evangelistic call to the unbeliever, repent,
right.
accept him.
Right.
So evidently the Lord is trying to instill in us that not having him and pursuing him diligently in a first love from our heart to his heart puts us in great danger. And then, Sharon, how we break his heart when we choose to find someone or something else that occupies our time and our focus as our first priority.
Right. So when we look at the Church of Ephesus, it looks like they have everything all together. But then their top priority becomes having everything all together, right?
Right, right.
You know, and I think we can do that today. We can get so caught up in serving the church in some way, or serving the community, or being in some sort of position in ministry at service to the church, that we forget that the whole purpose of it all is the Lord himself.
And our consciences grow dull, and we don't realize that we're not making him our first love because we are so busy serving him.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing against serving him, because we are commanded to do it.
Right.
But we need to serve him with a conscience that lets us hear from the Spirit what the Lord wants of us in honoring him and glorifying him. Do you remember we say the verse many times here at Sharon Hearts? And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18, whereas we look and behold him as in a mirror,
mm-hmm.
and that he is ever changing our character and the way we see him, like looking through a mirror from one service to another. But we want to behold him as though when we look in a mirror, we don't see ourselves. We see his character being evidenced in our lives.
Right. So we need to spend time with him in an intimate relationship, keeping our accounts clear and making sure that our heart and our conscience is clear, our heart is pure, that our motives are right, and digging deep in there and letting God reveal things to us and making sure that we are expressing Christ's love through us in that service, not just doing a physical duty in the name of the Lord.
There's several things, Sharon, that probably keep us from fulfilling what you've just said. One of them, even in our service, we have to filter everything through our belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us need to change the filters.
The belief system's kind of gotten corroded, huh?
Well, and I tell you what, I just know that if you don't change your filter in your furnace,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pollution that can affect you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true.
And then another...
So let me ask, let's stop right there for a sec. So how do we change the filter, Jamie? I mean, I think that's a good concept, but if I'm going to change a filter in my furnace, I know how to do that. But how do I change the filter in my belief system?
Well, it was something that you said here just a few minutes ago, and that is... we concentrate on good deeds and good works and giving the gospel, and we think we're doing that for His glory, and we may be.
Mm-hmm.
But we many times can do good deeds and good works and giving the gospel that we want to glory in a selfish way, and we really don't stop to say, first of all, I must just have Him, His holiness,
mm-hmm.
His heaven that He is creating for us and sharing with us now.
Right.
He is wanting to move us into being citizens of heaven and be willing to leave the temporary citizenship of this world where we're still told to walk.
Right.
But our focus is that don't live here forever, especially in this corrupt world.
Right.
But that we are citizens of a heavenly vision with a heavenly Father. Now, one day in the new heaven and earth, I think we'll be here, but the earth will be totally different than what it is now. So we don't want to gloss over new beginnings when we talk about, well, you know what you really need to do, girls, is wherever you departed from walking with Him in your first love, and everybody really has walked with Him in the first love, that's why we accept Him as our Savior,
right,
our Shepherd, our Lord,
right.
Our King.
Mm-hmm.
But we fail, Sharon, to do what the Scriptures command, and that is where we see we've gone astray, where we see that we are with the wrong priorities.
Right.
There is a phrase that I love, and it's used really in Revelations 2 with John, and that is the point of departure is the point of return. And that is for the word repent.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So when you repent,
mm-hmm.
you may go back to the point of your salvation because it may be that you were drawn away shortly thereafter
mm-hmm. right.
through difficulty.
Okay.
You may need to realize that you walked with the Lord for a long time, but then you got to looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you got really irked where they seemed to be practicing their own selfishness, and you hadn't read Romans 2 that says, if you don't like what your brother and sister's doing, first of all, go examine yourself.
Yeah.
Because it might be you have insight into what they're doing wrong because you're doing the same thing that's wrong, and you can't see it in yourself, but boy, can you get a vivid picture of it in somebody else.
Right.
So the point of departure is going back and saying, does my conscience commend what I'm thinking, or does it condemn?
That is so good, because understanding that the point of departure is a point of return is a great concept, but adding the fact that that is repentance gives me the tools that I need, that when I know that something's not right in my heart, God, I don't feel like that I have that same connection with You that I used to have.
Or the Spirit dwells within me and my heart is supposed to be full of joy, so why am I so depressed?
Right. So we can take those feelings and those insights and those emotions and we can go, okay, Lord, so where do I need to repent? What do I need to repent of? And how can I get my conscience clear and come back to that place and return to You through repentance? And that's 1 John 1:9, right?
1 John 1:9, and then our favorite wash rag that we use here at Sharon Hearts is Psalms 18. Lord, I'm sitting down. Show me my hidden faults and my presumptuous sins, my bad habits that I have formed because I haven't cleaned the filters.
Right.
And because I haven't realized that I was wanting to have some glory with you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said he doesn't share his glory with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But he says we are to glory in him. And in that aspect, we do get to enjoy his glory. And you know, the word glory is a word that many of us don't know how to put a practical definition to.
Right, right. But, it's kind of like saint.
Right. But when I think of God's glory, I think of how he displays that glory and that love in his character.
Yeah.
And so then I can flip over to what is the fruit of the Spirit.
And we struggle with what God's character is because we're usually looking at Christians to see what God's character is, and we can't look there.
And that's why a lot of people are not in church today.
Exactly.
Because they were looking for the true God. And they instead found one of his children with their own worldly symptoms of their character. And they thought, I think maybe I need to keep looking. Jesus Christ isn't the answer.
Right. And they're struggling and moving and growing and maturing just like everyone else. And everybody's at a different stage. So looking to God's character is in his word. That's where we will find his character, not in other believers. But we should be striving to be an example of his character as we grow.
Well, Sharon, we have said a lot today, so let's see if maybe we can just put into conclusion some of the attributes that God's love wants to make known to us and through us.
Okay.
How about if we just said God's desire and priority is to have all of you and your heart as a priority.
Okay.
You know, we know Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart because out of your heart proceed all the issues of life. And then God's love really wants to help and feed and cherish souls by giving them his light. Because you know what light does? It exposes evil and removes blindness. And a lot of people don't want to hear what you have because they want to walk in darkness.
Well, it's more comfortable to walk in the darkness when you can't see the stuff all around you.
That's right. But you can smell it, Sharon. Yeah. You can smell it, but you can't see it. Yeah. So we're not.
Well, it's hard. You know, when you're in darkness, you don't know it's there. And exposing that is painful sometimes.
And even to a weak believer, if you go into a dark cave that is pitch black and strike a match, just that little bit of light.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say to any believer, let your light shine, even if it's nothing saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Right.
And then true love is going to bind us together because we still have a fight against the enemy. Even though we know he has eternally been defeated, he still has trespassing rights, and he's here to trouble our spirits. And so true love will bind us together and tell us, as in Ephesians 6, how to have prayer warfare to show the defeat that the enemy really has. And then true love is just going to keep our focus on Jesus. And then, Sharon, those qualities of peace, contentment, joy, quiet restfulness will be our normal walk, even in times of the storm.
Mm.
Okay?
That's really good, Janie.
And then the last but certainly not least, he commands us as his children and his lambs to occupy until he returns, and to redeem the time for the days of evil. We cannot sit by as neutral individuals thinking, I don't want to make waves, I don't want to do anything to upset anybody, so I'm just going to exist. No, we are called to an activity to occupy and redeem the time.
Amen. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.